Well, it is all your prayers. Have something I've been thinking about this week. In Revelations, the 22nd chapter, in the 20th verse, says, "He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Surely I come quickly." That was in red letters, the Lord saying it. Surely I come quickly. One of the commentators said that that statement is for all ages, because every human life is that way. Behold, I come quickly. And really, when you think of life, that's about the way it is. Even if it is expanded out in what we think is a lot of time, the Lord comes for every individual. Then I was taken by the idea that the writer says, Amen. And that's my thought today. Can you say Amen? I think it's real important. We've thought about these things a lot, I guess, over the years. If today was your final day, or you heard these words, I'm coming. Think about it. Can you honestly say today, Amen? Or so be it. Then he expressed it again. Even so, Amen. Amen. It's a good time. It's a good place. Come, Lord. You say you come and come. I want you. I want you to come. Amen. Come. So come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Everything's taken care of. There's nothing that I feel like that I want to back up and say, I'm going to have to explain this. I don't have to explain it. It's been dealt with. Nothing that I have to say. Well, I wonder about this. I'm ready. Lord, come. This is the way the Lord wants us to live our lives. Do you know that it is a deception? It's a deception to live not ready. Because the deception is that one of these days, I intend to be ready. I don't think anybody in here would answer, I don't want to be ready. But you know, I find it's a frustrating thing not to be ready. Things happen in life every once in a while, and I'm not ready. Having a spare tire that's flat is not ready. Now, I know it's flat. I've known it before. It actually has got air in it right now. But my truck tire, I've had it flat before. I know that a spare tire is flat. And I know my tires are bad, but they're holding air. They did yesterday. They did the day before. So I drive around not ready. Saying, well, if my tire goes flat, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to be sitting beside the road somewhere wondering, why wasn't I ready for this? All I needed was a spare tire that had air in it. But it don't have air in it. But I'm assuming, it's a deception, I'm assuming that it won't go flat on me. I won't be stranded. I won't be stuck. I can say with my my life around, it doesn't really matter much because I don't go anywhere much that matters. Somebody will be along to rescue. I can get out of those kind of situations. And that's true. They're not that meaningful in the flesh. But the deception is that I'm not ready to meet God. And I'm not going to die until I am. How many people do you think have said that? And finished the course, ended their lives, still not ready. Still not ready to meet God. So I'm impressed with this scripture. He which testifieth saith these things, surely I come quickly. I'm not going to give you the advance warnings. When I come quickly. I'm going to end it in a quick way. You're not going to have the preparation time. You've got preparation time. I'm coming quickly. And the writer says, amen. Living for God faithfully can be that way. Longing for the time that the Lord comes. Yes, Lord, I invite you. Yes, Lord, come. By all means, come quickly. As a matter of fact, those in the situation that the Revelations was writing about was those that was under persecutions. They was under hard things. They was under all these things, and they was willing right there at the place they had prepared. They was ready. And so when the Lord said, I come quickly, they said, please come quickly. We're hanging on. We're faithful. We've been here. We're being fought. We're being persecuted. We're suffering. By all means, Lord, come quickly. Please, come quickly. So I'm interested in what I know is humanity today and how in the long run we can think, I'm going to surely take care of these things. These things don't matter. But in the concept of idea that God is coming today. Well, maybe He won't come for everybody today, but He might come for you. He might come for you today. And if the Lord was to say, I'm coming for you, this is a message that you search your own heart because nobody else can do it. But if the Lord was to come today and call you by name and say, I'm come for you, would there be an, oh no. I had somebody I needed to say something to. I didn't ever said it. I needed to. I knew one day I was going to ask their forgiveness. One day I was going to make something right. But it didn't. Or there was an issue in my life that I really wanted to take care of. There was an issue in my life that I let up on. And there was an issue in there that I really wanted to take care of. It was a place I needed something from God there. But I didn't want other people to know about it. I didn't want to deal with it that way. You know how feeble that would be? How much we allow those things into our thinking? I don't think we would in the day that Jesus calls me by name and says, Marty, I'm come for you. I've been thinking some about dying. And it can come at any time. Well, after Tammy died, the house was in Marty or Tammy's name. Or Marty and Tammy's name. Well, I can do whatever with the house, but I have not done anything with the house. And I keep thinking, if something happens to me, this house needs to be in Linda's name. Because that way, there's nobody's name on it that owns it that way, that's alive. Something's going to have to be done. There's things that you need to take care of. But I'm not going to die. Right? I'm alive. I'm healthy. I'm up today. Well, then I need to take care of that. I do need to take care of that. I'll take care of it one of these times. I've been asking the Lord to help me with something. Because He sees, understand what I'm saying, God knows my time. I don't. And so I've been asking the Lord, Lord, there's some things I probably ought to do. Would you please help me not to be so negligent that it would be a hindrance? Lord, inspire me to do what I need to do. Help me to be able to do it, because right now I feel like I'm going to live. But if I'm not going to live and this is something important that needs to be done, Lord, inspire me to be able to do it. I pray that the Lord would give us extra inspiration today. Because this is the truth, and a minister preached this several years ago, and this is the truth. Wherever you're at today is likely the way you're going to be. Lord, help us. It's a truth. We settle down into a rut with all of the expectations of things that we might do, but we never really climb out of them and do them. And the way we set ourselves in is the way we spend our time. And you know what? That can go right on until we find ourselves in eternity with what we've had on hand for years and years. Over in the 12th chapter of Luke, this is very familiar scripture, been used a lot. 12th chapter of Luke. Oh, let's see. 16th verse says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruit?" Now, let's just think about this a little bit. You're something that the Lord told a story about, a parable about a man. I think this parable could fit in a lot of situations and be very accurate to the Lord's point. I don't farm. But I don't think that's exactly what this all is about anyway, whether you farm or you don't. It's the fact that here was a man that was sitting and considering one day. That's what he said. Here was a man, and his ground brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself. And to sit and think within yourself, to make plans, and to say what you're going to do, is what we all do. This man was only doing what people do. He had went out on an adventure. He was a man of substance. He was a rich man. He planted. He invested. You know, planting's an investment. People that plant invest. They invest the seed. You can eat it. You can sell it. But you plant it. You fertilize. He done what it took. He made an investment. Now he's just doing what we all do. You live life and you think within yourself. Anybody around here think within themselves? Do you ever sit around and consider what you're going to do? How this is going to pan out? Nothing wrong with any of that. This man sat and was planning. It brought in, it done what his investment was coming in. It had paid off for him. All that he done and invested looks good. You know, he sat and was thinking. And I want to tell us today, I hope the Lord helps us right now to sit and think within ourselves and put the proper ingredients into those thoughts. Because we can just say, I've got life ahead of me. I've invested my life, I've invested in people, my relationships, whatever it is, I've invested, and here's the way this is going to pan out. This is the rest of my life. The way I'm going to live my life. This is what I'm going to do as a person. This is what this man was doing. This is what it's going to work for me. I'm thinking within myself. I've got a pattern of life that I've said this is what, and I don't put in there any regards for the things that could interfere with that. But you better. You need to be ready. You need to be ready for what might happen in life. Be ready. Don't take off to Elkins with a flat spare tire. Yeah, you'll go a lot of trips and maybe a long, long time without it. But when it happens, you'll be stuck. Don't take off without the preparations. I'm always having these dreams. I go hunting and I dig in my pocket and I don't have any shells. You know, first thing, these dreams I go, or I'm hunting. I don't know if you ever had these kind of dreams. I go hunting sometimes in my dreams and I'm going along And I don't have a gun. Where did I leave my gun? I feel like I'm so lost, out of place. I forgot something. I wasn't prepared. And it feels that way. You know what it's going to be like for the Lord to come? To come and to be lacking? To have to say in the Lord, to say to the Lord, Lord, I wasn't ready. I'm not ready. I didn't take care of it. I didn't get it done. Here was a man that was just thinking within himself. And this is the way it reads. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What's that mean? You've got time. You've got time. You're going to be able to enjoy what you have. Never inserting into this equation that we are mortal, that time is precious. Never inserting in there the possibilities of things going wrong or other things into this. This was the man's thinking. I'm going to have to do something and this is what I'm going to do. Never considering his soul. Yeah, tomorrow will be another day of doings. But what about my soul? What about my soul? What about the things that I... Maybe there ain't any. Maybe I've missed it on this one. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think so. I think there's things that we know God won't approve of. There is things that we know we can't stand and look at the Lord and say, I think you're satisfied with this. And I'm prepared to meet you with this because I think it's all right. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord, quickly. Because I'm right in the line. I want to do this. This man wasn't right in his soul when he lived the life of pretension, but he wasn't right in his soul. And the Lord said this parable for a reason. It isn't all about how life's progressing. It's and how you are in your soul first. There's nothing wrong with this passage. Except for the man didn't take care of his soul. He should have took care of his soul first. He should have made sure that his soul was okay. Then it's all right to eat your day's drink. It's all right to do those things. Make sure that your soul's right and you're right before the Lord. And what you're doing with your possessions is right before the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do with these possessions? What do you want me to do about it? Lord, this is my soul I'm working with. These things will pass away, but the rest of it's eternal. He should have been able to say, I don't know exactly what to do. I'll give some to the poor. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? I may have to build bigger barns, but Lord, make sure tonight before I go to sleep, my soul's right. Because all this, the rest of this stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyway. But the man forgot something. This is the way it reads. He shall say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Come quickly. This is in a parable. Come quickly. That's quick, isn't it? The man sitting and thinking, and then the Lord says, this night, God says, this night, that's quick, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. You know that really, that phrase, rich towards God, should be what our goal is. That I am rich towards God. I'm rich in my soul. I'm rich in my thoughts. I'm rich in my inspirations. I'm rich with the things of God in my heart. He was rich, but he wasn't rich in God. He didn't have the riches that he should have had. He wasn't prepared. He hadn't made life, his soul, the purpose of his life. He hadn't made eternity those things. He wasn't prepared. Lord, help us to be prepared. Not only be prepared for that end, but folks, I really think that there's people that have lost out on their way there because they was not prepared for the things that was coming. It's scriptural. The scripture said that men's hearts would faint for looking upon the things that was coming. They're not ready. They're not ready to see it. Things are getting to a certain place and people's hearts will be failing them because they cannot handle it. They're not prepared for it. You know, there's been times, I'll just be honest with you, there's been times I've been lean in my soul, been lean towards God, and then God sends something my way, a sickness, something come, a phone call, something comes that just shatters me, just shakes me, and I will say, Lord, no, I'm not ready. It comes anyway. You know what I'm scratching and digging to do? Get ready. Lord, have mercy and help me. I was not ready for this. I've been lean. I've not been doing what was acceptable. I wasn't able to say, come, Lord. I was only saying, Lord, give me time that I can get there before you do it. And here it comes. And I'm not ready. All right. Let's look at another scripture, 16 and 23 of Luke. Oh, I'll go back to the 19th verse. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate for full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. Two men. I think there's some givens here first that I want to state. I don't think Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom just because he was poor. That ain't a ticket. I don't think that the rich man went to hell just because he was rich. But one was ready and the other wasn't. One took his life, and this is the great statement of this life. Think of this. All of the difficulty that Lazarus had, he had nothing easy. He persevered unto God and was rich in God even though he didn't eat regularly. Many would be embittered, but he wasn't. He was ready through all of that, which teaches us there is no place that you can't be ready. And the other thing is that in the rich man's, all of his ease, all of his comfort, all of his time, he had servants to wait on him. He ate every day, had full strength and all of those things. And with all that he had, he was not faithful to God. With the amount and the ability he had, he should have been more faithful than the rich man was, or the poor man was. Because he had a greater capability of it. Folks, we live in a time of information. We live in a time of modern conveniences. We live in a kind of all of those things. Do we not have the ability to be faithful? We live in the time of automobiles with heats and air and all. Can we not be faithful to be the service? We have a warm room. We don't fight the elements of all those things. We not be faithful? We have more of a capability and we're going to have more of a responsibility. But this teaches us that one doesn't necessarily get it. Lord, help us. We have the capability today of a lot of things. Are we ready? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. Come. I'm ready. I'm living my life the best I know how. Lord, I've been faithful to you. Or what about this rich man? Wasn't ready. I think he would have liked to have had the chance to be ready. The scripture says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, if I look around at the world, I'd say, honestly, not much. Because not many people are given much. But if I put it in the context of this scripture, which is what that scripture is really meaning, what would a man give in exchange for his soul once he's lost it? Once he's lost forever, then what would he give? I'm going to tell you, he'd give it all then. There is no deals made for that, though. Once it's lost, it's lost. Lord, help us not to find ourselves in this kind of a situation. This man had all the opportunities, much more than Lazarus did. Lazarus was sick and suffering and poor and laid at another person's gate, dependent on all the things around him. This man had the money, the ability to help people. He had the ability to be taken to services. He had the ability to do what he wanted. He had the strength to eat and use that strength to glorify God with it. He could jump up. Lazarus couldn't jump up and shout, but this man could have. So where are we at and what's our potential? Are we ready? Where is the scripture? I wanted to get the scripture. Let's see. I thought that was in Luke. Maybe the... Oh, someone help me out. The scripture, the... Brother Manson, where's the ten virgins at? Where's that scripture at? Matthew 25. Okay, I got it marked there. Matthew 25. First verse. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to ten virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five foolish. They that were foolish, foolish. How does that sound? Foolish. Lord, help me not to be foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, I had a good experience. I've had my prayers answered. I've had Lord bless me. I felt the burning of the Spirit in my heart. I know what that is. Said the foolish didn't take any oil with them. Run out. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. So come, five of them could say. The bridegroom comes and the wise say, so come, Lord Jesus. We've been waiting for the bridegroom. We've been waiting. It's what we're about. Come, come, I'm ready, come. I have nothing to do. Come, I'm lit. I'm lighted, I'm ready, come. And five of them said, oh no. Oh no. He's really coming? The one that pierces, his eyes pierces the very intents and thoughts of the heart. What I can hide from others, I'll not hide from him. The hypocrisies of my life, I won't hide from him. He sees it all. To you, I look lit. Well, he travels around the country preaching. He preach. I look lit. God knows whether I'm lit or not. At midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for we are lamps gone out. Folks, this is an individual walk. Mom don't give it to you. Brothers can't give it to you. The preacher can't give it to you. This is an individual walk. Give us of your oil. Don't work that way. This is oil you got to get for yourself. This being ready, nobody's going to get you ready. Now, when we get ready to go on a trip, when we're getting ready, my wife packs my stuff for me. You can't pack somebody else's stuff on this one. You got to pack your own. You got to make sure it's right in your own life. Nobody else is going to do this one for you. It says, for our lamps are gone out. They're going out. It's a bad time to go out. I had them lit one time. Now they've gone out. You know what the greatest tragedy of this is? A lost opportunity. It was missing out. It's forever. It's forever. It's not another chance. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you both, and you. But go rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. That's why it's so important. Because there's a time God shuts the door. If it wasn't for that, then it wouldn't matter so much. Because there would always be another time. There would be a place. But there's a time when God shuts the door. There's a time and opportunity. There's a time and place. There's a time to get ready and there's a time to be too late. There's a time to be ready to go in and there's a time that you'll never go in. It was that way, and the scripture says that it would be that way as it was in the day of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, the scripture said, I think it's the 6th chapter, if you want to look at it, maybe the 7th, that says that he shut. When it come time that Noah got in, it says, and he shut them in. Do you know there's a given there? When the Lord shut Noah in, he shut everybody else out. Noah was in for good. Everybody else was out for good. They was out 120 years of ministering. No repentance. And God put up with it. In His long suffering, He put up with it. 120 years seeing no repentance. None. 120 years of being able to prepare and get ready for the day that the flood would come, when destruction would come. 120 years, no one repented. And when God said enough, He shut the door. Lord, help us. There'll be a day that you can critique your life. There'll be a time that you can alter and change things of your life. And there's going to be a time of time that you're going to be established there forever. There's going to be a time that that's who and where you are forever. That's the way it's going to be. If I don't find that, there'll be a time that this door will be shut. I need to be ready. I need to take care of those things. There's an old saying, one of the ministers used to say, get ready, be ready, and stay ready. You used to use about every service. Get ready. Be ready and stay ready. Always remembering that I'm just mortal. Can happen. It can happen to me at any time. 25. We'll look at another scripture. We know the end of this one. Lamps are going out. After, I'll finish this 11th verse. After it came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Alright, still in the 25th, this is talking about, oh, let's see. 14th verse, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou wast an hard man. You feel like the Lord's hard? No. I don't really think he is. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Now, he's sure hard when you're not. And he's going to be hard for those that don't. And this writer had it right. And according to his experience, Lord, I knew you was a hard man. I knew it. You was a hard man. I know you're not going, and I'll say it for myself. The Lord isn't going to put up with sin in my life. I know he's a hard man. When it comes to unrighteous things, when it comes to defiling things, when it comes to corruptible things, when it comes to things that's out of his will, he's hard. He will stand absolutely straight on truth. This one says, I know. I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and to he that hath, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he haveth. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Why wicked and slothful? Because you could have, and you didn't. Because there was allotted time for you to do what you needed to do, and you didn't do it. Isn't that really the whole story? What is it? 12th of January, 2014. You've had time. I've had time. I'm 51 years old. I've been living for the Lord since I was, we already remember now, 24? But it's been a long time. I've had time. You have time. That's what this day is time. Time to consider. And you may say, I don't know what the answer is. Why not? Is the Lord not willing to deal with us about what's right and wrong? To teach us? To help us? Why not? He said to this one, he called him wicked. His end was no good. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. You know, the Lord's going to come back, and there was two of them that was ready. They were ready. They could, any time somebody said, do you know the one that left the talents is coming? The Lord's coming back. And the one that had five more could say, well, come quickly. Come so that I can enjoy being able to fellowship with him, to give him what I've got for him. I love him. I want to give to him. Come quickly. I hope he comes down the road real quick. The one that had two could have said, amen. Amen. He's coming. Amen. But the one that had one, where was he at? I ain't ready. I ain't ready to meet him. I imagine the one that had five in my mind probably come up and looks him in the eye. Standing there with the confidence and assurance of what he had done, what had been done. The one that had two had no reason to hang his head. I wonder how the one that had one approached him. Probably with his head down. He had just the same capability of getting another one. But he wasn't ready. And this has been going through my mind all week. You better be ready. Because it's more than just getting ready. You set a standard in your life. You set a pattern of life. You get ready. And you set that pattern of readiness in your life that today I'm ready. There's nothing between me and the Lord. And I set that pattern that tomorrow, my number one goal, be ready. If I set indifferent attitudes and lethargy in my life and I'll take care of it later. If I say it today, I'll say it tomorrow. If I say it tomorrow, I'm going to say it Tuesday. And I'm going to go on with the perpetual saying, I need to get ready. The message today, I believe it's from the Lord. Get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Set the pattern of ready, of sensitivity. The scripture says, what carefulness it wrought. Carefulness for what? Sin. Carefulness that my life's right. Carefulness that God's going to come back. Carefulness in my life. I want to be ready. Zeal. What zeal had done? Zeal gave me passion for what I'm doing. Revenge against wrong, not against people, but a revenge. It was a revenge against ungodly things. Get ready. Be ready. And stay ready. Because that's the pattern that works. I appreciate all those that I've seen in my life that I felt have lived that pattern of life. One that comes to my mind, I always appreciated him, was Brother Vada McMillan. I remember he told me he was way up in years. I think he was 78 at the time, because I remember thinking, he told me he got saved when he was 18 years old. And he said, I have lived to the best of my ability and faithful to the Lord since then. 60 years, I thought. 60 years. It encouraged me. 60 years. You say, well, now I know he's had, I'm sure that he's had all the battles and all those things, but what I'm saying is, set a pattern. Set a pattern of I'm ready. Let that be the groove. Let that be where I'm at. I'm ready. And I'm ready tomorrow. There's nothing that would make me to think that my prayers can't be answered in their full entirety today. No, I'm not talking about repenting prayer. I'm talking about the child's prayer to his dad, to his father. There's nothing to keep me from it. And then tomorrow, I make sure when I start the day out, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord, for what your path, your plan for my life is. I'm ready for its stumbling blocks. I'm ready for its blessings. I'm ready for whatever life may throw at me. I'm ready. I'm ready. I can, in a place that you can honestly say, Lord, come quickly. That's a challenge to me. And to be honest with you, when I thought about, when I read that scripture, I had to say, Lord, could I really say, come quickly. Come to where I'm no longer able to change. Come quickly. I'm ready to be judged. Lord, help us today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.